everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Mobilecast. We're coming to you live from Mobile World Congress 2016, and I am delighted to be joined here by Sasha Segan from PC Mag. Sasha, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sasha Segan. I'm the lead analyst for mobile at PC Mag. Among other things, I head up our team of mobile analysts and reviewers. We review more than 200 phones a year, more than 50 tablets, more phones and mobile devices than almost anyone else in the world reviews. And this is my 11th Mobile World Congress. I actually came to the last 3GSM in Cannes before it moved to Barcelona.
And actually, you put together an app, I think it was 2 years ago, for Mobile World Congress in PC Mag, if I remember correctly. Because I had an iOS app for here, so if you came to visit, you made it easier to get around. And you've actually been tweeting how to get, you know, how to get around the strike and all these other things. So, you know, you actually, besides all the extra work, other work you do, you make it easier for people to get here and get around and just, you know, enjoy Mobile World Congress itself.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm also a travel writer. I worked for Fromer's Travel Guides for many years, and I love Barcelona. This is the most amazing city. This is my favorite show for several reasons. One of them is that it's an incredible explosion of mobile technology, but also that it's in Barcelona, which is, I've been on a lot of business trips. I've been to a lot of conventions. This is the most pleasant place to have a convention.
Well, the weather's beautiful and everything else, but let's get into the meat of it. You know, this is day one, and we had Caroline on the last episode talking a little bit about day zero. But, you know, what have you seen? You've pretty much been to all the media relations things from all the new phones and also Samsung. I saw you tweet, I think, from Huawei, and then you hit a couple others. Anything jumped out at you so far?
There have definitely been some great products and some great themes that have jumped out at me. In terms of themes, I think Mark Zuckerberg really kind of set the tone late last night at Samsung when he appeared by surprise and said, basically, this year is VR. And, of course, since he has a baby, he now frames everything in terms of his baby. Those of us who have had babies know what that period was like. It's really funny to watch Mark Zuckerberg go through it. He was saying that he wants to, he wants his friends and family to relive his child's first steps in VR. And as a result, he is pouring money and effort into this VR thing. And so you see Samsung has VR, LG has VR, even Alcatel, which makes low-cost phones, the box for their new phone folds up into a VR headset.
That's actually kind of funny. I know Google's giving out Google Cardboards here. I saw a couple people walking around with those. All these new phones, any of them, any surprising features you're seeing?
Yeah, I was really thrilled by the detachable bottom on the LG G5. I think LG's entire lineup at Mobile World Congress is really striking. So the G5 is, I think, the closest we'll get in reality to a modular phone. You pull off the bottom, the battery comes out, and you can attach on other bottoms with other features, like a 32-bit DAC, or a camera grip, or an extended battery. There's really just a USB-C port up in there, so third parties will be able to develop new modules that'll go onto the bottom of the phone. So that's a feature on a phone here that really surprised me positively.
Do you expect to see a lot of use taken up from that one, or?
Well, that's the big question. I mean, I think right after it was announced, Avi Greengard, who's an analyst who I quite respect and a good friend of mine, said something like, nobody will use this. But I'm just a fan of innovation.
It's cool to see, and you know, you're here. You know, it's a big deal. What are you expecting to see from Mark Zuckerberg tonight at his keynote?
Well, so he previewed his obsessions last night by talking about VR, and there will definitely be some discussion of VR tonight. But I think he really has to address the Internet Basics controversy in India. And in general, he's used MWC before as a platform for talking about his dreams of spreading the internet worldwide, whether it be with Project Loon or Internet Basics or other projects for the developing world. And I think he has to do a course correction on that now, and I'm really interested to hear what that course correction is.
Excellent. What else what have you seen today, or what else has stood out from your day one impressions?
Well, since we're PC Mag, and our part of our heart will always be in Windows PCs and laptops, it's interesting to see some of these mobile vendors become genuine PC vendors. The Huawei MateBook is a convertible tablet with a keyboard, but Huawei has made it clear they're an enterprise PC vendor now. This thing is going up against ThinkPads. Okay, so Huawei, so there's probably somebody at Lenovo who is a little bit scared right now that Huawei has entered the laptop space. Meanwhile, I went to Alcatel, that low-cost vendor I mentioned earlier, and they have a $249 convertible Windows 10 tablet. And so that's, you know, that's the next evolution of the netbook. So you're starting to see laptops are not dead. Laptops are two-in-ones now, and the mobile phone vendors are getting into making them.
Does that worry you? And what I mean by that is, if you look at where the netbooks were, netbooks became extremely popular, but dived off a cliff very quickly because people couldn't get the experience they were used to unless all the... And granted, a lot of people, all they do is browse and a few, you know, email, but tablets solved a lot of that. And you see that with, you know, if you're talking low cost, is that going to be a worry with these two-in-ones, like with Alcatel and others?
I don't know. I mean... The thing about the two-in-ones is that there's a certain use case that still exists and is very well defined for having a physical keyboard.
I 100%... Look, I have one on my tablet, so I can't complain on that.
Yeah, yeah. And so the question is, you know, if you want to ask the question of are the youth going to cast aside physical keyboards entirely? Are these not going to be able to appeal to younger people? I think it's going to take more than a couple of years for that transition to happen, if ever. And I think if we really do move away from physical keyboards, it'll have to be to voice interfaces and AI. And we're a good 3 to 5 years away from that being something that really works.
So yesterday in the Samsung piece, you know, a lot of pictures have been tweeted. And, you know, I mentioned this to Carolina. The one thing that struck me was it was almost like watching a scene from WALL-E. Because Mark Zuckerberg walks down the aisle and nobody sees him. Because everybody's got their headset on. And they're like 1,000 people and they're wearing headsets. And it wasn't until they were told to take them off that they got surprised. And does that worry you? Do you see that, you know, when you're looking at technology, of people getting stuck too much behind the screen?
I am deeply, deeply disturbed by the social and physical and human implications of VR, you bet. I ran a column today where I explored this a little bit, but, I mean, ultimately we have to realize we are animals, okay? We are just a few generations away from having basically no technology at all. We absolutely don't adapt as quickly to this world we're making as we make the world. And we are physical creatures that need to live in the physical world. Already, we have offloaded part of our brains to the cloud. That's what these smartphones are doing, okay? Nobody says, I don't know, in a conversation anymore. They just check the cloud. So the cloud is already part of our brains. But to completely physically put us in the sensory deprivation bubble and take us out of the world while we still are physical beings, that does trouble me.
And, you know, I understand that. And so how do you see anybody here addressing that in day zero or day one of how we get out of the bubble? I know Sony mentioned that you have to kind of, you know, live in the moment. And I'm just wondering if you've seen any of that with any of the people you've talked to over the last day and a half.
Right now, I mean, the thing is, when I hear these manufacturers say, oh, live in the moment, live the day, it often ends up being a sneaky pitch for VR cameras. Because there turns out to be something hilariously symbiotic about these VR experiences. Because to have things that people watch in VR, you need to have things that people do in real life for the VR people to watch.
Yeah, so it becomes, do these cameras become GoPros? I mean, you know, that's the other thing. You're starting to see a lot more 360-degree cameras. And the question comes, do you wear that on your shoulder like a GoPro? You throw them in rooms. Do your whole house become just full of cameras so you can record those special baby moments that Mark Zuckerberg is talking about?
Yeah, and then it becomes, and then it's not WALL-E as much as it is that eternal touchstone of technophobia, Minority Report, where Tom Cruise is sitting reliving his happy memories as a drug, you know, and losing his life to them.
Anything else strike you on day one of Mobile World Congress? Anything else stand out?
Yeah, let me think. So, this move towards VR, absolutely. The LG stuff is great. I went to the ZTE event yesterday. And saw their S Pro 3 smart projector, and I have to stick up for ZTE because they're willing to try kind of crazy ideas to see if they'll take off, and they've been trying the smart projector idea for like 3 years now.
I actually have one of the original ones that, you know, Sprint had as a hotspot.
Yep, yep.
So, you know, I think it was like it was less than 400 lumens. You could hook it up to Sprint, and you could hook it up to your device and project.
And this is 500 lumens. It's a laser projector. It has an 8.4-inch Android tablet on top of it. It has 6 hours of battery life. It's a really cool device, but they're seeing how hard it is to define a new category when you don't have a really strong brand and personality to define it. It seems like there's only a couple of companies that have the personality and the brand to define these new categories and to convince people that they really want a new thing. And that's been a problem that ZTE has. And, you know, in the U.S. at least, it's a problem that other companies like Huawei definitely have. One other thing that reminds me, one more thing I saw at the show that's really impressive is the rise of a lot of regional mobile manufacturers. There are these companies like Wiko and Wiley Fox that make phones that those of us in the U.S. have never, ever heard of, okay? But in Europe, they're getting huge. And you've seen this already in China and India, which
with
almost...
With Xiaomi and a few others.
Yeah, Xiaomi and Meizu in China, but like even far beyond that, Micromax and Spice in India. And we're seeing it happen in Europe now, too, that it's not a monoculture of Apple and Samsung around the globe. There are these great scrappy regional players rising up, and that just gives me hope for competition.
Yeah, but that also makes it... I don't know if they have as big an impact on Apple, but I think that would have a big impact on the Samsungs, the LGs of the world, because now they have competition in their home court and other places where they've been strong.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. This all becomes... What is Apple at this show? It's always a good question. At least nobody's running stupid editorials about how Apple won MWC by not being there, which is always like...
That's only the last 3 years, not this year.
Oh, yet. God, I hate those editorials. What's funny is that a lot of the trends and themes here, you know, IoT, robotics, that LG rolling robot, home care, VR, smart cities. What's Apple doing in any of these?
It's a great question.
I need to hear more.
It's a great question, and they'll do it in their own time, as they're known to do.
They will.
Sasha, I want to thank you for your time. I know it's valuable. This has been a great recap of day one, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And listeners, we'll have another episode tomorrow with the day two recap. Thanks so much.